This podcast is brought to you by Lacrosse All-Stars, growing the game one podcast at a time. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Outside the Eight. My name is Cassie Brunel, and I am your host. I realize I often forget to introduce myself on my episodes because I just jump right into the introduction. So I just did it this time. This is episode 10 of Outside the Eight, if you can believe it. We have made it to 10 whole episodes. If you haven't had a chance to listen to all 10, well, they are right there in your podcast app, SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Pocket Cast, Stitcher. Those are the ones I can think of right now. All right, so welcome back to episode 10. This episode, we have the tenacious, the confident, the amazing, the great Ashley Gersick Murphy. I had the chance to sit down with Ashley, who is the CEO of Summit Lacrosse Ventures. She is an awesome lady. She is a businesswoman. She is a boss. She is an athlete. She is a powerhouse. And it was so fun sitting down with her when I was in Denver a few months ago. And I'm super excited to release this episode because she gives a lot of insight to not only her lacrosse experience and the experience of building a program, which the program was Northwestern, which became a powerhouse thanks to people like Ashley Gersick Murphy, to now running a business that is the operation behind some of the nation's greatest lacrosse tournaments, including Lake Placid. So we will talk a lot about Summit Lacrosse Ventures, how Ashley got to where she is today, how they make everything happen, and some girl boss stuff because she is awesome. So here is my episode with Ashley. We will dive into a bit of a fact check afterwards because I want to tell you more about her experience at Northwestern and then also, you know, how you can learn more about Summit. Here we go. Well, hello. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
We're here with Ashley Gersick Murphy, right?
Yep.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Monday morning. Yeah. We're launching our 2019 events coming up Wednesday, so fired up and ready to go.
Yeah, so you are the CEO of Summit Lacrosse Ventures.
I am.
So we will be diving all into that because that's where you are now, but you have a long history of doing many things.
Yes, indeed.
So to start out, where are you from and kind of what's like the very quick story of how lacrosse came into your life?
Okay, so I'm originally from upstate New York. Left there in 2001, where I went to Northwestern University for 4 years and then lived there 10 years after. And then got married in 2005, and my husband actually got a job out here in Denver, hence the headquarters moved to Denver. Mm-hmm. So I'm here now, but lacrosse has been part of my life for a really long time. I should say sports in general have been a part of my life forever, really. Started playing boys lacrosse in Connecticut, where I lived until I was 12. Oh, wow. And was a little tomboy, and all my buddies were guys pretty much, and lacrosse just became popular. I remember literally in, I think it was 5th or 6th grade, someone got a back rack catalog, and the biggest deal was, you know, custom dyed stick heads. Mm-hmm. And we were just super into it, less even, you know, really playing in any formal way, but it was just the cool thing to do in the neighborhood, kind of. So got into lacrosse early, along with hockey and baseball and, you know, skiing and many other sports. And actually when I left Connecticut and transitioned to upstate New York, Albany, where I'm from, my going away gift from my buddies was a custom dyed Hopkins lacrosse stick. Ever since then, played boys lacrosse and transitioned obviously into the girls game in middle school, and it's just been a huge part of my life forever, really.
So why did you play boys lacrosse first?
Again, I was a little tomboy and I liked to hit, and I played, you know, football in the neighborhood, and I played baseball, not softball, and just, you know,
So there was girls lacrosse as an option.
As an option. I played boys lacrosse and I loved it. And so that's where I started. And actually when I moved to Albany, I played boys lacrosse as well. It was kind of a controversial thing. I made the boys travel team. And ironically, we can go back to it later, but that's how I first met my now business partner and mentor, George Lavelle. We can talk about that later. Yeah. But and then went to an all-girls school, much to my dismay, in Albany. And the girls needed a goalie in order to have a JV lacrosse team. And they threw me in goal. I agreed to play. Actually, I had full hockey equipment on, and then ended up playing girls lacrosse, and kind of the rest was history.
And always goalie?
Started as goalie again just because that's what they needed. Yeah. I had never played goalie before. I played attack a little bit in high school just because there was a goalie already there and I wanted to play. Yeah. So I played attack for a couple of years, but primarily goalie.
Wow. So do you feel like you had an advantage because you played boys lacrosse, or what was that? Like, did you feel like there was a big difference?
I would say certainly in terms of stick work, just because, you know, I loved it and I had a stick in my hand all the time because I, you know, it was just the cool thing to do. And, you know, I just loved the game. So I would say I definitely had a stick in my hand earlier than many people around me. But just, you know, I think the, you know, the speed and intensity and, you know, I was always playing with boys that were bigger and older. And that's sort of how I developed my passion for sports. So I would say just early involvement in not even just boys sports, but playing with people that were older and bigger and faster and stronger and more competitive, it just kind of shaped who I was as an athlete.
Yeah,
it
probably made you very tough.
I've also been 5'1" since about fifth grade, so, you know, I got banged around a little bit.
Wow, that's awesome. So did you kind of always know you wanted to play in college and take lacrosse kind of further throughout your life?
I would say I always knew I wanted to play sports in general at the most competitive possible level. I mean, if you had asked me earlier, I would have said hockey. Ice hockey was sort of my, I wouldn't say original, I guess baseball is my original favorite sport, but I loved ice hockey, but just honestly didn't have the hands, or I hadn't, you know, I didn't start early enough and I wasn't good enough to play college ice hockey. So I loved lacrosse and, you know, took me to some really great places.
Yeah. And you have siblings and they all play. Are you the oldest? Or?
I'm the eldest. Yep. Okay. My brother opted for books and things outside sports. Actually, I shouldn't say that. He was a great runner and skier. But my younger sister sort of followed my passion for sports. But I like to say she was the spoiled third child because, you know, she got to play ice hockey competitively at age 4 or 5, whereas I had to convince my parents. I think I first started playing around 12 or 13. Yeah. So,
wow. You know. Very cool. So kind of how did you choose Northwestern as your college next step?
I think it was actually a pretty special experience. So as I was looking for schools, it was sort of dictated by the fact that I was a goalie. So most of the programs I was interested in were established programs, and sort of got down to the wire a little bit, or, you know, that version of the wire, you know, is much later than the process is now. But and Coach Amante Hiller reached out to me, and she basically just said, I'm building a program. You know, I certainly knew who she was and her reputation as an athlete. Kind of funny story, but she called our house for the first time, and my mom, you know, put it on mute and shouted, Tony Amante's sister's on the phone, because we are a big hockey family. Okay. But so, you know, to me, she was sort of the Mia Hamm of women's lacrosse, and got that phone call, and she just had a conviction about her sort of plans for the program, and I was just really, you know, inspired by the opportunity to build something, and, you know, she just needed to put somebody in the goal. So I ended up being actually the first kid to commit to the program.
In that first, it was brand new?
It was, there was a resurgence of the program. So they had a program in the 90s that had gone dormant. Kelly had been there for a year coaching the club program and basically had 1 year to recruit for the first, you know, Division I program and the resurgence of the program. I was amongst the very first class in the fall of 2001 for the first season, which was the spring of 2002. So ended up being the first kid to commit to the program.
So you were really like the pioneer of that program. One of them. That led it to such a dynasty when it was, you know,
one of them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's easy to say that in hindsight. I think at the time we were just a real ragtag bunch of kids who, you know, believed in the vision and really had no sort of ego or expectation about what it was supposed to be. So we just showed up and, you know, we were clueless. And, you know, I was a captain as a freshman. Wow. You know, talk about blind leading the blind. But, and we just kind of, you know, had this opportunity and, you know, were able to build it.
That's really cool. So this is such contrast because I spoke with Taylor Thornton, who really went into that program when you you know, you guys were hitting, like, such a great peak after you had graduated. That would have been after your time. Mm-hmm. But it's really cool to kind of hear more of that backstory that kind of had led it there. And now it's been such a such a force and, you know, bringing girls from all over together. That's really cool.
No question. Yeah. You know, our experience was much different than, you know, most people have come through the program. You know, if you ask any of my classmates, we wouldn't change it for the world. You know, we lost a lot of games. People don't necessarily associate those guys with losing a lot of games, but we did.
Yeah.
You know, we went 5-10 our freshman year, 8-8 our sophomore year, 15-3 our junior year, and then 21-0 for the national championship for the first one our senior year. So it was definitely a progression.
Yeah. And is there a strong kind of alumni community within all of that?
Very much so. Okay. Yeah, I mean, my teammates are my best friends in the world, and it's funny how things transition over time. You know, I had 25 teammates at my wedding. You know, now everyone's getting married or has been married and, you know, is having kids, and, you know, just you see how it lasts for a long time. And then to see my sister come into the program, you know, 9 years later, and somehow there's been this, you know, fluid transition between her friends and teammates and my friends and teammates, you know, who knew her as a little kid.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's a very strong bond for sure.
Wow. That's really cool. A lot of family ties and.
Definitely.
Wow, that's really neat. So then you've taken, like, I feel like your career has been super awesome and probably something that you've been really dedicated to, and now you're building this whole, you know, summit and everything. So I would just love to kind of talk about what, like, business-wise, kind of you've developed that has also translated to growing a lacrosse business.
Sure. I think, so I originally worked briefly for a media agency out of college, and had the opportunity to go back and work again for my college coach, and help, you know, grow her, her camp business. And that's sort of how it all started. So another great opportunity that I was afforded, to sort of leave my, you know, fancy shiny building on, you know, Wacker Drive in Chicago and, and, start something, you know, have an opportunity to start something from scratch. So I think, again, it was the opportunity to build something. And I think for me, you know, in hindsight, you know, I'm just very grateful to have been able to, you know, work, you know, in a small environment where I could grow a business, you know, grow as a professional and really build something that I'm proud of.
Yeah. So let's talk about what you've built. and all the things that you guys do, because I don't think people realize what you guys are behind.
Definitely. So, Summit Lacrosse Ventures has been, you know, a tremendous opportunity. Again, something I'm really proud of. Originally, as I said, I had worked for Amonte Sports for a handful of years, and then ended up sort of with an umbrella organization, you know, outside just that organization. And then back in 2015, or I should say earlier than that, 2013-ish, George Lavelle approached me about a potential partnership for a specific event. And I guess I'll go back to my upstate Albany, New York roots. So I had known George for a really long time. I went to high school with his son Kevin, who's now with us full time as well, and his son Mike. And ironically, so when I moved from Connecticut to Albany, first thing I did was sign up for the boys lacrosse team. Short hair, baseball cap, you know, long story short, I end up on the boys travel team. They may or may not have realized that I was a girl.
Wow.
So I played on that team. The next year I show up to sign up again, and George Lavelle was behind the table, and he said, you know, oh, you know, the girls sign up is the table down there. And I said, oh, I'm actually here to sign up for the boys travel tryouts that are, you know, whatever. He said, oh, you know, sorry, but we don't actually have any girls on the boys travel team. You know, you're going to have to sign up for the girls program. And I said very politely, because my mother emphasized manners strongly in my life, you know, if you wouldn't mind, please look at the roster from last year. I'm on there. You know, I'm a returning player. And he looked at the roster and looked at me and sort of said, okay.
How old are you?
I was, I guess, 13 probably at the time, 13 or 14.
And at that point, are you like, how did you have any feelings about the fact you were playing boys lacrosse versus girls? Was that...
Well, I loved it. It's just what I did. I didn't really think anything about, you know,
think
anything of it.
Think it was weird? Like,
I don't know that I cared.
Yeah, I know. It seems like you didn't. But
yeah, I didn't. I didn't care. That's and awesome. So he was sort of a little bit speechless at the moment and said, okay, go for it. Cool. And it's just kind of funny because now, you know, George is my, you know, mentor and business partner all these years later. And that was our first meeting. Yeah. So anyway, so he approached me about a joint business venture back in 2013 or 14 or so. And mm-hmm. we started working together and just found great synergies in just sort of our business philosophy and the way we approach things. And just, again, our general working relationship was very strong. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was sort of, he had retired from his full-time career. He had built the Lake Placid Summit Classic, you know, starting in 1990 when it was he and his buddies playing lacrosse in a beautiful place. And it had evolved into something far larger than, you know, buddies playing lacrosse in the mountains. And so I think he was at the point where he was looking for sort of a succession plan, if you will, in terms of, okay, this is a real business. I'm doing it full time. I don't want to do it full time forever. And I think he saw some real synergies in just sort of the way we operated. And one thing led to another, and we merged our two companies and established Summit Lacrosse Ventures in January of 2015. Okay. So Summit Lacrosse Ventures became sort of the merger of Lake Placid Summit Classic and a couple of events that I had as well and some joint ventures. So, you know, since then, you know, we've evolved into about 15 events nationwide from California to Colorado to Illinois to New York. The vast majority of our business is in upstate New York. And, you know, now this is our platform by which we offer, you know, great lacrosse experiences to people in special places.
Yeah.
You know.
Love that tagline.
Yeah. I don't know if it's a tagline,
great
but there
lacrosse
it is.
For people in special places. So that's really cool. I have never been to Lake Placid and I hear it's so much fun. So can you give a rundown of what that event is like?
Sure. I guess I'll just start with Lake Placid. It's just a really special place. Yeah. You know, it's in the Adirondacks. I grew up playing ice hockey there and, you know, vacationing there with my family and then ultimately playing lacrosse there. I got married there.
Very cool.
And actually Kevin Lavelle got married there as well. So it's just a really special place. It's a mountain town. You know, it's an Olympic village. They hosted the Olympics back in 1932. 1980, the Miracle on Ice, you know. So just the general atmosphere of Lake Placid is sort of this small village, you know, small upstate New York village with very, very strong, you know, sports, magical sports history and sort of aura about it. So that's Lake Placid. And again, George founded the tournament in 1990 and he had seven teams and it rained the entire time. And he looked at his buddies and said, well, that was fun, but that'll never happen again.
Wow.
And we're going into our 30th year this coming summer, and it's really just a celebration of the game. You know, it started with men's, it transitioned to you know, women's and boys scholastic and girls scholastic, and now I mean we have a range of, so we've got about five events up there now, and we've got a range of 7-year-old boys to 65-year-old men.
Wow.
And women and girls in between. So it's just, it's a celebration of the game. I mean, you know, the sort of quintessential Lake Placid story is that we've had a father, a grandfather, a son, a father, and a grandfather all playing on the same fields in the same week.
Wow.
Which is pretty special. And now you add a wife and a daughter and
yeah.
a, you know, so it's just, it's a celebration of the game. You know, we host about 265 teams there at the main event every year.
And how many days is that?
It's 7 days, and that's just our one main event. You know, we've got a few. We've got a boys' youth event and a girls' development camp, et cetera, et cetera. So, but the main event is over 7 days. And, you know, something we're really proud of, too, is it's a major. It is, you know, one of the largest, if not the largest, economic drivers of the economy of the village of Lake Placid.
Wow.
In terms of, you know, our customers who come and spend money in the restaurants and the bars and the hotels and you know, we hire a lot of local people, and for us, you know, we really feel like we're a local business that just operates, you know, five or six weeks a year.
Mm-hmm.
But we're really proud of our role in the community, and the community's been really, really good to us.
Wow.
So it's kind of bigger. It's bigger than lacrosse,
yeah.
which is what makes it really special.
Yeah. So anyone can come from anywhere?
In theory,
yeah.
But we've got a pretty long wait list,
okay.
And I think the tournament would be a lot bigger if it could be. but really we overwhelm the community. I mean, to the point where we're working with the Department of Transportation to install temporary stoplights. I mean, we bring everything they can handle and a little bit more to the village over that week, so it's pretty hard to get into, just in terms of capacity.
Interesting.
You know, and teams come back for, you know, there are guys who have all 29 tournament t-shirts that they've collected every year, you know, so there's kind of it's a pretty special community.
Yeah, so is there a number of how many people you guys have brought in, like how big it is?
It's about 265 teams is really the max capacity.
Okay, that's crazy. So you are managing all of the staffing, operations, promotion, like everything?
Well,
kind of what's...
I've got a great team.
Yeah.
So full-time, so George is sort of our strategic advisor, and he's obviously integral to everything, but less involved in the day-to-day operations.
Yeah.
Kevin Lavelle is our brand director and event director as well. Again, he's based out of New York. And then we've got Blake here, who's the director of events and programming, basically make sure, you know, operationally we're sound from start to finish. And then Eric handles our customer service and then much of our operations as well. So, and then we've got a whole team of independent contractors who have different areas of expertise. So we have our staffing director and our venue directors and our, you know, all sorts of different,
Sure everything goes smoothly.
Yeah. And our independent contractors, that core group of about 15 or 20 of them who are consistent across our various events and have been with, not Summit Lacrosse Ventures, but been with Lake Placid Lacrosse for a long time. So they're key. And then we hire event specific staffs in each location.
Yeah. Wow. So it's quite the operation.
It's an operation. It is definitely an operation.
Is that a stressful time? Or are you able to enjoy it?
No, we're definitely able to enjoy it. It's kind of, you know, interestingly, Lake Placid, so, you know, this year we had 13 events in 8 weeks, which was, you know, a drill for a full-time staff of four. But once you get to Lake Placid, it's the biggest, it has the most moving parts, but somehow it's the most operationally sound just because it's been around forever, and everyone who's there, it's ingrained in the community, and everyone who's there really knows what they're doing, so it's a lot easier to sort of let go and delegate and know that everything's going to be handled properly, you know, so.
So what other events do you guys put on, some of the other big ones?
Sure, so we started, actually the first year managing the Rocky Mountain Lacrosse Jamboree here in Denver, which is the root of a longtime family relationship with the Baruch family who founded, they're pioneers of lacrosse here in Denver, so we started running that for the first year this year. We're in Lake Tahoe with a partner, Advanced Lacrosse, Chris Rotelli and Advanced Lacrosse, out in Lake Tahoe. Then we headed to Albany, the North Star. North Star Lacrosse is one of our most prominent brands. It's a women's, a girl-specific brand that started with the North Star Invitational up in Lake Placid, which is a developmental camp for girls. The North Star Capital City Classic is a tournament at UAlbany. We've got High Peaks Men's in Lake Placid simultaneously, then Lake Placid Youth, Saratoga Lacrosse Shootout in partnership with Ryan Powell and Rhino Lacrosse. And a few more sprinkled in there, and then our Monday lacrosse camps with Coach Lindsay Monday of USC, and then we ended up in Lake Placid towards the end of the summer. So
what are the busy months? It's
really, well, ironically, it's really all year long.
Yeah.
You know, so our effectively we're September through August, and
yeah.
you know, September is sort of prepping for our launch. October, early October is our launch, you know, preparation. We do have a fall tournament in Chicago. We have a winter tournament in Albany, but for the most part, we're preparing for summer.
Yeah.
And then the busiest sort of operational months are June and July.
Wow. Yeah.
In the beginning of August.
So through kind of all of that planning and executing of these events, I'm sure, like, how have you been able to stay tied to the sport and, like, the growth of the game? And, like, how do you guys maintain kind of the integrity of everything?
Absolutely. So I think, you know, we're in a unique position in some ways in that our... Many of our events sort of transcend, you know, time in the sense that whatever the current environment is, whether it's recruiting or, you know, whatever it is, you know, our events are really about building a love for the game in a special place where for example, Lake Placid, it's one of the most competitive, you know, talent-wise, that level of play there is tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no recruiting. You know, it's just literally people who go there because they love the game. They want to see the people that they hang out with every single year in Lake Placid for, you know, anywhere from, you know, 5 to 20 to 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
So for us, that's exactly what the game's all about. You know, it's about developing relationships with people, having special experiences in great places, and just, you know, playing the game because you love it. And I think we have the benefit of a lot of our events being based around a passion for the game and the relationships surrounding, more so than, you know, whatever's necessarily hot right now in the lacrosse community, if that makes sense.
Yeah, interesting. Well, that sounds like a very kind of, like, broad... You have a lot of your hands in a lot of the broad execution of help making the these tournaments happen, which are gateways for kids to, you know, probably be seen by college coaches and be on travel teams. So that, and I think it's really important that those tournaments continue to happen and that it can be in a place where, you know, there is a history, so that there is that sense of community as well.
Right. That's well, really I think cool. It's important that. I mean, I understand I was there as a student athlete where, you know, you're very goal-oriented and you're trying to get to the highest level and all that, which is amazing. But I just think it's important for, you know, young kids to see the bigger picture and understand that lacrosse is really a gateway for your future, literally for college, but really bigger than that. And I just think that, you know, everything, every sort of skill and experience that I apply as a professional, as a wife, as a friend, you know, as a family member, it's all really surrounded in my experience in sports. And everything I sort of know about how to operate as a person and a professional comes from sports. And I think kids can be very sort of myopic, understandably, you know, tunnel visioned in their current goal, which is great. But I think it's really important for them to understand that it's really about the development of something bigger than that. And we just like to sort of foster a platform where that is, you know, front and center, and people understand that it's bigger than, you know, just the game right there.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. So. Do you still coach or play?
I don't. Yeah. I've sort of transitioned. You know, it's tough to jump back in the goal and be a goalie.
Yeah.
You know, I'm slower. The shots are faster. It's just not as much fun. But I've sort of transitioned into the mountain sport thing since I moved to Colorado. So just more into skiing and hiking and mountain biking and and all that. So
I think that makes sense. I think that's one of the beauties of, you know, you've had this great career and you've made lacrosse your livelihood now, right? And it's very ingrained in you. But then there are these other interests and these other aspects of life that you can be passionate about and be good at. And exploring those, I think, is super awesome. And
for sure.
We should all do.
I mean, I was so focused on team sports my whole life, which I would never trade. But it's funny, you know, my parents, you know, we had cousins who lived in, you know, London, and during high school, my parents were like, oh, let's take a family trip to London. I'm like, no, I have Empire practice. I can't. Like, I had no interest in, I was just so, speaking of tunnel visioned kids, that was me, you know? So I now have just much greater interest in travel and, you know, again, national parks and hiking and all these things that I just never really had time to focus on. I mean, we didn't ski because we didn't want to get injured.
Yeah,
you know,
no, exactly.
So I don't want to get injured now either. But, you know,
exactly.
So I've sort of transitioned my focus a little bit as an athlete to sort of the more individual mountain type sports.
That makes sense.
So,
well, women's lacrosse has changed a lot, especially since you were playing in college.
We didn't have boundaries my senior year.
Wow. Weird.
Yeah, I know.
So what are your thoughts on kind of where you see lacrosse evolving, especially on the women's and girls' side of things?
I think it's great. I just think, you know, athletes are stronger and faster and more talented and, you know, just over the last couple of years. And I think part of it is, you know, the progression of media and seeing quick clips on Instagram or whatever it is. But just some of the things I've seen of the current, you know, current highest level of the sport are just, it's exciting. You know, I always sort of tried to be a non-traditional player in the sense that I kind of cradled, like, you know, I played boys lacrosse, I ran out of the net like, you know, a crazy person. Just things that, at the time, that were sort of non-traditional, and you just see now it's a whole nother level. And I think it's awesome. I think it's fantastic. It's great for the sport. It's exciting. I think a lot of the new rules, it's hard to keep track of them all. They're changing all the time. But I think, generally speaking, the pace of the game is faster and more exciting and more athletic, and I think it's awesome.
Yeah, it is. I agree. I think it would have been fun to play with some of these rules that are now out there. And then also, I think it's great with, I mean, Northwestern has always been such a powerhouse, but then you have these other programs that are developing and becoming, you know, national champions and especially on the West Coast too, kind of growing the game on that side of things. Where do you see lacrosse in Colorado kind of becoming more prominent, or do you have a view on that?
Yeah, I think absolutely. I mean, I think anywhere where there, I mean, the sport is growing still, you know, maybe not as fast as it was, but it's growing. And I think wherever there are athletes, you know, lacrosse is a blast. I mean, it's a great sport. I mean, there's a reason why I fell in love with it when I was 10, you know, and I think it's only getting more and more exciting. So I would say naturally the progression will be towards, you know, more athletes playing lacrosse in more places. I think you know, there are a ton of athletes in Colorado. I think if we could get, you know, some more of them off the slopes and onto a lacrosse field, you know, but I think it's going to continue to grow and kids are going to continue to play at a younger age. And I think it's important that the game stays fun for kids. You know, I think a lot of kids specialize early now and, you know, all sorts of perils that come with today's youth sports environment. I mean, I'm a big believer in, I mean, my love for sports started in a cul-de-sac, you know, in Connecticut with whoever was in the neighborhood. And I think to the extent that, I mean, there's some new sort of iterations of the game, if you will, whether it's, you know, Casey Powell's speed lacrosse or what, you know, those kind of things, I think, reintroduce just sort of the fun pickup nature of the sport, which I think is really important. And I think it's a blast, and that's what it's supposed to be. So I think the more that we can sprinkle in fun experiences, which we feel a lot of our events are truly fun experiences, the better, you know, because, you know, it can turn into a drill. And if you look back as an adult, you realize that, you know, any drill oriented nature about going to practice or any of those things, like you take that in a heartbeat over, you know, the day to day pressures of being an adult. Mm-hmm. So the more that kids can really be having fun playing sports, I think the better.
Yeah. And I love the idea of like girls and boys playing together.
Totally.
Yeah.
I think it's fantastic. We're big proponents of just in general, sort of the, not necessarily the co-ed game, but just, you know, a universal game to an extent where, kids can play. And I think it's great.
Yeah. So you mentioned a lot of what you've learned from sports you kind of take into your professional life. Can you identify some of those thoughts?
Sure. I mean, I just think sort of my sense of self-worth from a very early age was really rooted in luckily a great family, but other than that, really around sports. And I think, you know, people of my generation are incredibly lucky for people like, you know, trailblazers like Billie Jean King and the Mia Hamm generation, because I was really never told I couldn't do anything. And I think, you know, my first experience was I wanted to play baseball, not softball, in Connecticut. And, you know, the guy said no, you know, to start. And then my mom said, well, do you want to tell my daughter no? And he didn't. And I played baseball, you know. And so I just think the sense of you know, self-worth and confidence and being able to do anything you put your mind to was from a very early age. And then I think just, you know, work ethic and teamwork, the ability to take constructive criticism, the ability to work toward a goal was sort of non-negotiable. Like, you know, this is what needs to be done. The ability, you know, the willingness to do whatever it takes for the team, you know, just all of those sort of, my attitude in life, I think, is based around being a teammate. And I think that's why it's really hard for a lot of people when they graduate from college and they're no longer have that association, you know, because you're not used to sort of operating autonomously in the world, you know.
Absolutely.
And I just think, you know, again, everything I learned from sports, you know, has been very easily translatable into my professional career and just, again, my personal life as well.
Yeah, no, I agree. That transition is really tough. And I like talking about that too with the people I interview, because I think we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to be a certain way or, you know, take this source of identity of being an athlete. But when it comes, you know, to the end of your, you know, especially collegiate career, because probably at your time you didn't have, there was a U.S. team, but probably not a lot of other opportunities to continue.
Yeah.
Was that difficult for you, or did we
at the time? Definitely. I was lucky enough to live with four teammates and, you know, in Wrigleyville.
And that's fun.
We felt really sorry for ourselves for a little while and then realized we were pretty lucky. But yeah, it was difficult. You know, you're used to being, you know, I shouldn't drink a soda today because I have practice and my teammates are depending on me. Just little things where you realize...
Every choice you make has
implications, you know, that are bigger than yourself. So I think the transition was tough for sure. But I think you realize quickly that you can apply everything you learned into your professional life and your personal life. And you realize that sort of the deep-rooted experiences don't ever go away. Mm-hmm. And they just, you know... They seem pretty far now, but at the same time, it's defined, you know, the next chapter of my life as well. So it's, you know, it's easy to look back and be grateful as opposed to feel like you're missing out on anything, you know, so.
That's awesome. And now you're CEO.
And, you know, you still apply the same philosophies. You know, we've got a big launch this week, and, you know, I sent an email to the boys this morning. It's game time, you know, like, let's get fired up. And, you know, it's the same... Just the way I attack my everyday is really not much different. It's hopefully a bit more mature than I was in college, but it's the same mentality, you know, the same team-oriented mentality, so.
Awesome. So what's next for Summit? Kind of, I know you're launching for the next year, but are you guys thinking bigger? What's kind of...
Yeah, I mean, I think we try and sort of, you know, stay in the moment and maximize, you know, our current opportunities. We have... You know, we're really proud of what we offer today, but I think we're of the mentality you can always get better. So right now we're in the mindset of, you know, collecting all of our learnings from last summer and applying them to next year to make next year even better. But, yeah, I think big picture, you know, we're just looking for strategic partners who think the way that we do. I think lacrosse as an industry has changed a lot over the years, and I think we're sort of proud of where we stand in the industry and you know what we believe in, and it hasn't changed all that much in many years, and we believe that sort of that long-term mentality and strong relationships and strategic partnerships are what's gonna, you know, help us be around for another 30 years. So, you know, I think we're always thinking bigger. We're looking to see how we can, you know, grow the game in the best and most positive way we can, and use our platform you know, for whatever it is, to just be, just to make a positive impact on, you know, the players of today and the players of tomorrow.
Yeah. Very cool. So, yeah. Was there anything else that you wanted to mention or?
I don't think so. About? Not that I can think of.
Yeah. Well, I think this has been really awesome. Just getting your perspective, kind of being from, you know, the beginning of a program that became such a powerhouse and now running this company that is, you know, bringing lacrosse together in a lot of ways. I think that's awesome.
Thank you. I would also just say too, you know, I'm really proud of being a female business owner and entrepreneur. I think, as I mentioned, you know, my self-worth came from sports and self-confidence. And I think I've never, you know, I've always felt that with hard work and a good attitude and enough, you know, effort and wherewithal, I could do anything. And I just think, you know, I'm very proud of being a female business owner. And, you know, I work with a bunch of guys for the most part. But I think I respectfully throw my weight around. Yeah. And, you know, I try very hard to be a good leader. And I'm proud to be a female business owner.
Absolutely.
And I think that, you know, young girls, it happens to be in lacrosse, which I'm lucky that the content of my business is something that I have and still do have a passion for. But to me, my current passion right now is, you know, developing and growing a business to be as strong as it can be and, you know, afford good livings for, you know, the guys I work with and, you know, people in the future. And I think that I'm just very supportive of, you know, entrepreneurship in general, but especially young girls who, you know, may be interested in owning their own company someday. And, you know, the grass is always greener. You probably work harder and, you know, take less vacation and, you know, certainly lie awake at night stressed about the pressures of owning a business. But at the end of the day, you know, I wouldn't trade it for anything, just to have sort of the opportunity to, you know, work for yourself and to build something and, you know, carve a path. So I would just support, you know, any young girls who are interested in owning a business someday. I would certainly do anything I could to support
that. Yeah, absolutely. Do you write about this or mentor? Or
not at the moment, but it's definitely something I want to get involved with. Yeah. I think I've sort of been, you know, moving at warp speed for the last however many years, but I'm kind of getting to the point where, you know, we're really pretty well dialed in terms of our operations, and I've got an incredible team. And, you know, from a personal and professional standpoint, you know, I definitely want to get more into, you know, mentoring young women or young business owners. And
That's awesome. So. You would be a great mentor.
Thank you very much.
I can feel your passion and I can feel your kind of tenacity to go out there and get things done.
I appreciate that.
That's really cool. Thank you so much for talking
thank
to
you.
Me.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, this has been fun.
Absolutely.
Thank you for listening to my episode with Ashley. I really enjoyed asking her all the questions I could think of and understanding kind of how she got to where she is today. She's definitely the type of person you want on your team, business-wise or in a sport. She's an athlete. She's cool. She's a go-getter. And I really appreciated her candidness and filling us in on what it takes to run a company like Summit. And I love the anecdote of her talking about her first meeting with George Lavelle as a young girl, you know, letting him know that she would be playing on the boys' team and she wasn't taking no for an answer. But she handled it with tact and poise. And I'm sure it's something that he remembered as she grew older and then they eventually became business partners. And now, you know, she's running the biggest lacrosse tournament in the nation. The Lake Placid Lacrosse Tournament is just one of those legendary things that you hear about in the lacrosse world. And I have never had the privilege of going, but I have friends who have, and I've heard plenty of stories about just the general connections and competition and the beauty of Lake Placid. And it sounds amazing. And, you know, obviously goals someday is to be there. But I think it's awesome that they're going on their 30th year this coming August. And it's such a vital part of the community, not only in Lake Placid, but in the lacrosse community. I mean, people come from all over to attend this and to play in it. And that's really cool. There's nothing else like it. So like I said, it was great to record with Ashley. I was in Denver visiting friends and I went down to her office in downtown Denver and got to meet her and the team at Summit Ventures, and you know they have fun decorated offices with all their lacrosse memorabilia. It's a very, you know, driven workspace, and you can tell that they have a lot of passion behind it. So a couple things to fact check. I did not know that Ashley was part of this class at Northwestern that was really responsible for resurrecting the entire program. I had never dove that far back into Northwestern lacrosse history to realize that, you know, they weren't always a powerhouse, but I guess, you know, every team has to build out from something. So that being said, you may have listened to my episode with Taylor, who graduated from Northwestern in 2013, but it really was the people like Ashley Gersick and her class in 2002 that were kind of the pioneers of the entire program with Coach Kelly Amani Hiller. So it's really interesting to kind of have that separate perspective. I really appreciated learning about that. Kelly Amani Hiller is one of those names that in women's lacrosse you just know and you hear, and you know that she's been a national champion many times over. She is the name behind the stick I played with in college, the Amani 2. She is just someone who's kind of permeated the lacrosse atmosphere all around. And it's really cool that she has these players out here, you know, building something of their own as well within. So like I said, Coach Amani Hiller has been at Northwestern since the resurrection of that program with the season in 2002. They went on to win the national championship in 2005, which I believe was Ashley's senior year, and then again in 2006, 2007, 2008, and 2009. Then they won again in 2011 and 2012, but have not won national championship since, because I think the other programs in this country finally caught up. You know, there wasn't a lot of competition for them, especially when newer programs were on the rise and the lacrosse talent pool was a little bit smaller. Now we're seeing a lot more competition overall, which is great for the sport. But I would definitely credit Ashley as a leader to that dynasty that was created. at Northwestern. Her sister went on to play at Northwestern, Caroline Gersick. She graduated in 2014. And I know they have a really strong alumni network, so that's awesome. Ashley also mentions Tony Amonte, who is Kelly Amonte's brother. I am not an ice hockey person, so I definitely just played along when she dropped that name. But I did a quick Wikipedia, and I am sure all you hockey fans out there are laughing because he was a very well-known professional ice hockey player. He played for the Rangers, the Blackhawks, the Philadelphia Flyers. Our SummitLacrosseVentures.com. Summit is behind tournaments and programs, camps, clinics across both coasts. They are really responsible for a lot of the growth of the game, and I think it's awesome what they're doing. It must be a huge operation, like I talked about with Ashley, to keep everything organized and people on time of what they're trying to do and accomplish. The Lake Placid Summit Classic is August 5th through 11th, 2019. You can learn more at lakeplacidlax.com. Like she said, there is a wait list, but maybe you know a friend who knows a friend who could get you on their team. I don't really know how that all works, but it's worth looking into if you're interested in going to Lake Placid this summer. Summit Lacrosse Ventures is a partner with Lacrosse All-Stars, so thank you guys. Thank you, Ashley, for your time and your conversation, for sharing your story and all the things that are going on at Summit. It's been fun. If you guys have any questions or feedback, you can always send me a note, cassie@laxallstars.com. Send us a note on Instagram or Twitter. On Twitter, I am at cmbrunel. If you have any other comments or feedback, as always, I'm here for it. All right, have a good day, have a good week, and see you next time.